You're a good one.
You gotta keep pushing.
I guess we're all gonna learn together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause people expect this to be done.
That's right.
Now we gave you all this stuff.
Why am I?
I am she.
She took over in January.
I am she.
I am she.
I am she. Thanks. All right. How y'all doing?
We're ready to go.
Ready to roll?
Ready to roll.
Okay, cool. Well, let's call it to order and call our meeting to order today. And I have the agenda here. Let's do roll call. Do we need to do it?
Yes, I'll go ahead. Bruce Burke.
Here.
Colin Oglesby.
Here.
Cynthia Ayala.
Here.
Dale Calvert.
Here.
Leanne Hernandez.
Here.
Ian Johnson.
Here.
Jesse Lugo.
Here.
John Aiken. Paul Smith.
Here.
Okay, we have quorum.
Okay, thank you all so much. I have a question. We never got another nomination from Ward 1?
No, I don't believe we received one.
Okay.
Jim, do you have anything?
Not soon.
No.
Okay. What's the protocol for that? Do we send them a notice?
To the ward.
To the ward?
Right, I believe so.
Yeah, so I can bring it up in my next briefing with the council member.
That'd be awesome.
It's a bit of a two-way street. You know, they will typically ask us if we have anybody who we know might be interested, and we do the same. So I would, you know, submit to all of you, if you know somebody who would be a good candidate, send them our way, and we're happy to discuss that at the ward office.
Okay, fantastic. All right, thank you. Let's go through with approval of minutes. Do we have a motion?
I'll move approval.
I'll second.
Fabulous. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Paul.
And just verbal.
Verbal? Do we have to? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone not in favor? Approved. Fabulous. Call to audience. As I understand it, there's not anybody here present, but there was a letter that was submitted to us.
That's correct. That's correct, and I received that this morning, and I, in my communications with the resident that had submitted it, I did indicate that I would share this letter with the IOAC this afternoon.
So if we could just take a minute and read that, that'd be great.
Yes, I have. I have been in communication with them, and I have asked our streets division to take a look and see if there's anything that can be done in the short term.
Okay. Great. Thank you for that. All right. So, keep that in mind, y'all, as we move forward, and. I'd like to move the utility coordination conversation up. Are we still waiting?
No, that'll work. That'll work.
Is everybody okay with that, making that adjustment to the agenda, moving item 7 to item, switching it with item 4, or moving item 4 down? Are we good?
Okay. Yes.
Great. All right, utility coordination discussion.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the IOAC, before you, in fact, I have the latest version of this before you, the draft letter. The draft letter was our effort to try to respond to your request for a letter to submit to the mayor and council. It's one that we shared with the chair and she helped us with the composing of it. And we have also had the opportunity to review it with our colleagues over at Tucson Water. Scott Schlabweiler is here. He's deputy director with Tucson Water, and he offered some comments in it. We also received some comments from Bruce, who spoke with this morning and made some suggestions to make it clearer, the letter clearer, which are between Mr. Schlabweiler's and Bruce's comments. We have those shown in highlighted text on the draft letter. I would just like to state that our departments are working, I think, very well together. We have a shared challenge, and I think that one of the things that we've experienced is that working with trying to coordinate our projects can be at times challenging. You know, working with contractors and such, making sure that their timelines are in alignment. We have our first project that we have done collaboratively, where we have timed our project to follow a Tucson Water neighborhood main replacement project. That's in the La Madera neighborhood, and that's in fact, we finished paving on the La Madera neighborhood last Friday, so it's fresh in all of our minds. We're out there doing the speed humps at this point in time, and we'll be doing the utility adjustments. There are a lot of opportunities for us to work together and save each other money. For instance, ordinarily what we would do with Tucson Water, if Tucson Water were coming in on their own with a project that we weren't going to follow with paving, we would expect them to do valve adjustments, set them in concrete. We'd be looking at a more extensive pavement cut patch than we're currently looking at when we're able to follow behind them. So there are opportunities for both departments to work together and save the general public money, both those Tucson Water customers that contribute to the water projects through their billings, and the broader citizens of the city of Tucson through their sales taxes. We know that it's a challenge working together. It's one that we're all committed to doing, but it does take time because there are a lot of moving parts on these. Also affords us some opportunities to look at how we can do things better, look at things more strategically. As I say to my colleagues over at Tucson Water, we're building the scaffolding between the silos of excellence. So that kind of tongue-in-cheek comment, but I think we are working pretty well together. But I also see the point and the desire to be able to let the council know that we are looking at some challenges that we do have to work through. They do take time, and they will take money and resources. And so we recognize that DTM has a robust funding source that was created deliberately to do all of these projects. The water department doesn't have it the same luxury, and they have to build their projects with their general rate base. So those are kind of the issues at play here. Mr. Schlabweiler and Mr. Creedy are here to offer their thoughts on it, and we'd be happy to listen to your feedback and see what you think of the letter draft that we composed.
This is a wordsmith. Okay, second paragraph, second line, after city streets, believe you can delete that R.
I'm sorry, delete the R currently under contract?
Just delete the A-R-E.
Oh!
Another 6% of city streets currently under contract management.
Got it.
I thought it was well done.
Mr. Creo and Mr. Schleifman?
Yeah, Madam Chair, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, please.
So Jim had asked me to attend, and we reached out to our colleagues at Water, and I know John can meet and be here tonight, but Scott's his deputy. Just offer some perspective on the topic. I appreciate that the IOAC is talking about this. It's a very important topic because of the impact this particular program is going to have on all of the neighborhood streets throughout the city. One of the things that Jim had conveyed to me is the commission was concerned that perhaps the mayor and council were not aware of some of the delays to projects because of the coordination between DTM and Water. One of the things I wanted to assure you, and I know Scott will second this, is that both myself and Director Kamik have frequent and often conversations with the council about all the things going on in our respective departments, and obviously this is one of particular note. In fact, a lot of the council offices, this is just a standing item that we give them updates on. And so they are aware of the work that's going on and some of the challenges we've had delivering, especially closing out Proposition 101. I think that's a really important piece that we're trying to work really hard on. But what I will submit to you is that this has been a great opportunity to take advantage of opening the roads up and being able to do some of the water work, and I'll let Scott talk a little bit about that. I can tell you that, and I appreciate that the letter acknowledges that the work that goes into a paving project, especially like a mill and overlay, it is not quite as extensive as the work that goes into a water project. And so it is taking some time to get all of this done. But again, I think this is kind of almost a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get all the roads touched and also be able to take advantage of working with Tucson Water. We do work closely. In fact, we have a meeting later this week to kind of talk through some of this. But I just wanted to say that I appreciate that the commission's paying attention to this, and both Scott and I are here to answer any questions you might have about our respective coordination. Scott, I don't know if you want to add to that.
Yeah, I second everything that Jim and Sam have stated so far, and I do appreciate this, and I appreciate the input and the support. It has been a challenge. It has been fantastic working with DTM. We've come up with a lot of opportunities and created collaborative maps and efforts, not only with us, but also with even Pima County and other utilities, too, that are now coordinating with us on efforts that are also seeing concerns, or they had planned projects, and we want to get out in front of them. So working with DTM so that we don't have to go in right after a freshly paved road is put in place and we have to go tear it up, that just doesn't look good for anybody, right? Just a little bit of background on some of the stuff that we do. We have, it's kind of like painting the Golden Gate Bridge, just like paved maintenance, right? Nothing lasts forever. And we do have to go out and replace a lot of our infrastructure. We have the next 5 years of major neighborhood main replacement programs or projects planned already. We have those programmed out, and those are kind of based on the worst first. And we have areas that have seen a number of leaks and a number of service interruptions just because of their age. And when things were put in 50, 60, 70 years ago in some cases, they weren't done to today's standards. They've seen encroachments over the years, traffic. It's very difficult to repair. So as we relocate and replace mains, getting out in front of a lot of this pavement work is super critical. And to what Jim mentioned earlier, doing this in front of them, having DTM come in and follow behind us is a tremendous effort in savings and cost to the city, right? A lot of our work is paid for through our rates, as we mentioned, and a lot of this pavement work and this proposition is being done through sales tax. And what we don't want to see is, our customers and our constituents paying for it twice, and they don't want to see that either. So that's what we're working very hard to do, and in a lot of cases, we've collaborated on, I think this is actually our second or third, I know you mentioned La Madera, but we did Rodeo, La Madera, I think Las Vistas, there's a couple of other projects where DTM has come in behind us and paved the roads and made everything look sharp. And one of the things we conveyed to the community is really, this is almost a neighborhood upgrade. It's not just water, it's not just pavement, but you're getting a brand new water system. In many cases, we're going out replacing service lines that on the private side of meters too, to relocate the mains and relocate everything. So it's a brand new water system for the community, it's a brand new roadway, so it's a true upgrade to many of the neighborhoods. And but that couldn't be done without this collaboration. So so building the scaffolds between the silos of excellence is a great analogy. We're proud to be part of it. But yes, it has been a challenge, and just given some of the resources that we're lacking, I think, even as a city, and I'm sure DTM is feeling some of that too. That part has been a challenge. We have consultants working in our office as we speak alongside our staff to help support us in this effort. We need to move as fast as we can, but some of the projects that we work on also are a little more involved when it comes to design work and the regulatory efforts that we have to comply with. We do have to submit to regulatory agencies. They have a 40 to, I think last, it was a 53-day review time, so that has to be built into our schedule, and that is something that's out of our control. But we do work as quickly as we can to push these through, and again, just appreciate the support from you guys, from DTM, from everybody who's been asking about it. And much like Sam, we do bring this up. We have briefings with our board offices every month, and when these questions come up, we address them, we talk through them, and these conversations have happened, so they know where we stand as well. And I think their understanding of the collaboration efforts that are occurring. So all in all, I think this is turning out well. Again, a lot of work on our parts, a lot of work on DTM's effort, but we're getting through it, and we'll get it done.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Dan. If I could just ask, I'm Bruce Burke, one of the members here. We've had some discussions, obviously not a detailed discussion, of the issues that relate to coordination between these two departments. And in the course of that conversation, we've come to the sense, and it's admittedly a little bit vague, that you operate on as an enterprise fund, if I'm correct.
Correct.
And does that include a capital component to it? And if so, is it an adequate capital component to meet the needs that this sales tax is meeting the need for in the roads department, so to speak?
So I think everybody's seen costs increase over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years, right? I mean, they've just gone up. We've seen numbers increase 20-30%. So to answer your question, whether or not it's adequate, if I had $1 billion, we could probably replace the entire water system right now, but that's not gonna happen. So we do have to phase this out accordingly. We are very much aware of what this does to our rates. So we really prioritize, I mean, even for the work we're doing with DTM, we use a third-party tool that uses AI to help prioritize what we're doing. So it's not just us making a judgment call, but there's actual scientific data-driven decisions behind what we're putting into this. So could we use more money? Absolutely. You know, how we spend that, where we spend that, those are decisions that go beyond just is there money available. It's also where that money comes from and who pays for it. Because again, just about everything in our capital program is funded by rates. And so we want to make sure that our rates stay as low as they can. And we're very much aware of that. So that's part of the decision in walking through that.
And Scott, if I could add to that, I think the other part of this challenge is water has a 5-year capital plan that they're working on. And it only includes so many neighborhoods. I think the fact that we're moving as fast as we are in a 10-year program outpaces their capital program. I can't imagine, I mean, I don't know what it looks like, your capital program looks like to cover the whole city, but it's like you said, it's like the Golden Gate Bridge. You're just always continually working through 5-year chunks, right?
Yeah, I can tell you just for our planned, this is just planned neighborhood replacements where we're looking at quarter sections or more sometimes. I think over the next 5 years, we have about $80 million worth of neighborhood main replacements planned. That doesn't include the short mains, the emergencies, some of the items we come up with through Prop 411 where they say, hey, we're going to go out and repave the street, put in a new cross section, but boy, we've had 15 leaks that are over the last 5 or 6 years. We need to go out and do something now. Otherwise, we're going to replace the main and pave the street again, and that just adds to our costs and takes away from what we're doing. So some of the efforts we're doing here by coordinating, this helps save us money on the pavement end, which means we can replace more mains later on down the road. So again, the collaboration has been nothing but beneficial. Again, a lot of work, but overall extremely beneficial from a cost and financial perspective too. So.
And I would add that if you look at the phase one map that we've got for you, those neighborhoods or those blocks shown in blue hue are representative of the 5-year CIP for Tucson Water. And we're very grateful that the IOAC supported us in giving us the opportunity to follow it and do the paving work on those blocks that were otherwise in the phase one program.
Yeah,
We'll let Ian go first.
Well, I was just going to ask, I know that the DTM has done a whole lot of work looking at the inventory of need, you know, looking at the quality of the pavement over the entire city, and then doing the brain-twisting work of trying to figure out, like, how much of that is going to be dead by the end of the project, you know, that whole thing that happens, but you were able to come up with a number, and I know that's a ballpark, but like 700 million if we were to do everything, you know, that was at the beginning of the project, so I don't know where that stands now. But I am curious, you know, I know that you have a 5-year capital plan you just said set up, and I know that this is like an artificial constraint being added to you, like, oh, by the way, we, you know, like, we're going to do all this stuff. But do you have a sense of what the shortfall is over the lifetime of the DTM, of the 411? I mean, are we talking 500 million short? Are we, I mean, how much is it? Because, I mean, working together is awesome, and the synergy is great, but if there's just not the money, I mean, you can't do it, right?
Right. I don't think that we have looked at that. I know we haven't looked at that, and I think some of the reasoning goes, there's multiple points that we look at, whether or not when we evaluate a project that comes through about 411, is the depth of cover, is it the age of the main, is it previous failures, things like that that we evaluate. So there are some things that we can just put off. And it's not like we need to replace everything, or do we want to replace everything. It's kind of what comes within the window of the moratorium and what's going to be feasible, so that we, if something's going to last beyond this pavement treatment, then we're not going to replace it, we're not going to touch it. We just want to make sure everything works. You know, we go out and turn valves out there and make sure that those are all operable before things are paved, so we don't go back out there and like, oh man, now there's an issue, because valves are one of those things, you only need them when there's a problem, right? And then it's an emergency, and so we want everything to work. So I don't have a total shortfall, because I think the 3-year plan, I think that Jim has laid out and what we've looked out, again, we know what our planned neighborhood efforts are going to be, but things are always popping up too. So no, we don't have a total outlook.
Do you have a ballpark, like a gut feel?
I don't want to throw a number out there, because I'm afraid it would stick somewhere.
Okay.
It's a great question, though.
So this is for Jim and Sam, and what's your name for 271?
Scott.
Okay. So I'm calling Oglesby, Ward 2, it's the east side. So I know we're in a 10-year program, and it's not really possible to modify the existing program. But going forward, do you think it would be necessary to recommend to Mayor and Council that we build in a utility grant program into the next series of transportation bonds for maintenance? Does that feel like something we might have to do to ensure the next program can run on a schedule that's more predictable?
That's a great question, Colin, and I would say the short answer is yes, that when, you know, hopefully in 5 or 6 years when we're having the conversation about a potential reauthorization of this, it would be great if we could carve out some funds to help our utility partner, Tucson Water. You know, we're relying on their existing 5-year capital investment plus, you know, some of the maintenance things that Scott talked about. When, you know, if there was an opportunity to do some, you know, more wholesale upgrades, certainly I think we would want to have a conversation with the voters about that. Scott, I don't know what you think.
I think it's a great idea. I think the more advanced planning that we have, that we know of, that's really what's going to help us, right? Because, I mean, we've literally the time differences that it takes to deliver a project that Ellen's mentioned in the letter, and that's one of the gaps, right? Is closing that gap so that we can kind of keep pace with DTM. So if there's a way to stay ahead of that, but absolutely, the funding associated with that is part of it. Because, again, we are limited in our capital budget, and, again, that is tied to our rates, and we don't, any raises in that has to come from somewhere, and we don't necessarily want to turn around and hand that to our customers if we don't have to. It's a delicate balance, right, of finding that fine line of maintaining our infrastructure and our quality of service and our level of service, while also balancing the infrastructure needs that we have to keep that in place. So it's okay. A great idea, and I think worth discussion.
Okay, and I don't want to make that an agenda item or a motion right now. I just think that's something we should revisit in the future.
Anybody else have any comments?
I'll just sort of wind up there. Just as a curiosity,
When at Tucson Water, is, do you have a pretty good idea about depth of lines? I they're staying. I was a former water company owner, one that you know.
Yep.
As a practical matter, we had a pretty good idea about the depths of the lines, not so much from our maps, but from when they were put in and who put them in and how they were put in. And of course, then somewhere along the line, we came mandatory coverage rules. And of course, obviously, everything that was built after that had the mandatory coverage rules. But there was those old lines out there. Do you have a pretty good idea where all those old lines are at, or is that something that is sometimes only found by the staff or by the engineering staff when they go out and do the engineering assessment on the pavement?
The answer to all your questions is yes and no. So some of the older stuff, we don't have as solid of an idea to where some of those are. A lot of that requires some investigation. We too have inherited a number of utilities and water companies over the years. Some of that, we have a line on a sheet of paper and we haven't had to go out there and touch it. We don't see it until it leaks or until somebody else hits it and finds it for us, which is not the preferred method. But one of the things we do with all the Prop 411 work is go out and measure that depth. Try to be as non-invasive as possible by measuring the depth to the top of the valve nut, just to see where some of those are. Because over the years, sometimes grades have changed on roads, things have changed, and some are pretty shallow. We've seen stuff as shallow as almost 2 feet, which if you're gonna come in and scarify and put in a holding pavement section, gets a little dangerous as far as the pipeline goes. The rest of the system, we'd like to think we know where it is, but we always kind of trust but verify and do request potholing. A lot cheaper to find out up front rather than during construction when you hit it and delays everything. Yeah. Makes a mess.
So I bring that up not because I'm trying to do anything other than say when we come to Ian's question, it's hard to estimate what something is when you don't necessarily know what problems you've got out there. And I think there's very logical reasons why they don't know. Now, when they bought our water system, we did a whole lot of potholing. But as a practical matter, I know hasn't happened all the time. And I hark back to an old construction project on Swan and Pima. When they were doing that project, we had change orders and stopped the construction on that intersection like 4 times because they would think they had all of the lines identified, and they go in there and they'd start digging and they would find something and then have to stop and then have to go back and redesign. And that intersection had a terrible reputation. One of those things, kind of like the Fourth Avenue underpass and all of the redesigns, had the same reputation. And it was just simply because people didn't have those old maps and didn't have that information. And so it's not always really feasible to do a good estimate. And so I think that's something to keep in mind.
I have a stupid question.
Go ahead, Cynthia.
This is just in my same sci-fi, whatever you want to call it. But wouldn't it be, when it comes to all the lines, whether they're water, electrical, whatnot, wouldn't it be easier to somehow invent or come up with like an X-ray machine? That way you can go over all the lines and we didn't know that one was there. But we know now, and that way you don't have to continue to dig a little hole and then oops, and then have to start again. I mean, it was just something I had a lot of time on my hands. Okay.
Well, I think there is ground penetrating.
There is ground penetrating radar. Yes. There are a lot of questions go along with it. You still have to validate it because it's depending on the material type and other interference factors. Sometimes it's not always completely accurate, and then you get into cases when you do dig the hole and you're like, wow, I thought that was 3 feet deep. 5 feet deep,
right.
I need need an extra fitting, and that's 6 weeks out, and all the things happen, right? So those are parts of it. And then there's the conversation on who owns that data and who maintains it. And there's a big liability factor there too. Is that something DTM, as you know, the owner of the right of way is going to do, or is that Tucson Water or the utility owner? And who? And so when that information is handed out to a contractor or somebody else doing another design project, you're saying, hey, here's our information, and they're going to take your word for it on it and come back and say, hey, that wasn't right. You cost me $100,000. You know, pay up. So there's a lot of things that go along with it. So we did actually just do some ground penetrating radar on a project that we're working on right now, just to try it out and see how it works. So it is out there. We are trying to take advantage of as much technology and the efficiencies that it offers as possible. But there is nothing that's going to be as tried true as getting your eyes on something and getting an XYZ and digging a hole. I know it's trouble, right? Blocks traffic, you're digging a hole, all the things, but at the end of the day, it does save time.
Thanks.
I'd like to make a motion to approve this letter if there's no further discussion on it.
Sam, did I hear you have a comment?
No,
okay. All right, go ahead.
I just wanted to make the point that I appreciated in my conversation with Tim this afternoon. He added what I thought was an important element to this letter, and that's in the fourth paragraph. It makes reference to the fact of our concern about the potential for this taking longer than 10 years. So I think that it's a message that needs to be delivered, and I trust that we're delivering it in an appropriate way through the cooperation. The other elements of this edit are from other people. I just want to be clear on the narrow part that I touched. And with that, I'd like to make a motion to approve this letter as amended here.
Second.
Actually, Cynthia seconded it. Thank you so much as well. Do we need a roll call?
Yes, we'll do a roll call. Bruce Burke?
Yes.
Colin Oglesby?
Yes.
Cynthia Ayala?
Yes.
Dale Calvert?
Yes.
Leanne Hernandez?
Yes.
Ian Johnson?
Yes.
Jesse Lugo?
Yes.
Paul Smith?
Yes.
Okay, you have unanimous vote.
Great. Thank you all so much. Thanks, big thanks to staff for working this out. And thank you so much, you know, Scott, for your department's continued collaboration with DTM. There's no way around. We just have to go through. So I appreciate the fact that staff is willing to make the work happen. So thank you.
Madam Chair, as a matter of course, unless you see it differently, I'll prepare this for your signature as the chair of the IOAC.
Great, and I will try to sign it legibly. All right. So next.
Does anybody sign anything legibly?
Well, you know, I try. My sister's always on me about it. So just like it's from the stereo, you try. You know. Anyway, thank you so much for being here, though. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. So back into our agenda, we have Prop 101 updates.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of IOAC. I'll go real briefly through this. Working without a net today, as we do not have a projector. So, residential packages are now substantially complete. In fact, the last of the packages, which was 101 Package 2, which had some deferred curb access ramps, we issued the substantial completion letter last week for, so we are now in just doing punch list items with that west side neighborhood where they're cleaning up behind the back of the curb ramps and demobilizing. That project, the combination of projects, had a cost of $795,800, and we had a remaining budget for that particular package of $1,024,000. There are some locations identified within the PowerPoint materials to where those curb access ramps are constructed. In terms of ongoing projects, on the arterial road sign, or arterial and collectors, package four, which has Main and Granada, Speedway and St. Mary's, St. Mary's, or Granada St. Mary's Condor, 6th Avenue, all the way to Irvington and Ajo from I-10 to, or I'm sorry, Irvington, and Irvington and Ajo. I'm gonna have to watch what I'm writing in here. Most of it's complete. We have issued an NTP on the 6th Avenue portion of it, which is basically Valencia to Los Reales. That was the last piece of that project. It was one where we had water mods that were involved. There's also a regional water, or rather a flood control district project on Elgato Street that is about to go to construction. Once those two projects are complete, we'll go ahead and finalize the paving on it, and we expect to start paving at 6th Avenue between Los Reales and Valencia late next spring. On package five, that's 5th Street, the CMAR is with Hunter, they're underway. Right now what you're seeing is wastewater work that's going on in 5th Street, and the Tucson Water will begin later this fall with their work. And then once they're completed, the paving will commence. And the paving is expected to begin in late spring, about May next year is when we expect paving to occur on 5th. On packages 9 and 11, that's the fog seal project that covered all over town. The contractor had to stop last year at Christmas time, and we told him, well, let's bring you back next summer, do the work at night. And we had an early onset of the monsoon season, so we had him stop there. Basically, the only thing left on those projects is what they call windows. It's where they basically had to skip over areas where they had to keep driveways open. So what they need to do is come back in and spray the short distance of the driveways. My understanding is that they're expecting to complete that in the coming weeks. So that's with American Road Maintenance. On package 10, downtown streets, we've got water mods underway. They're at 60% design. And Cushing Street is complete, except for access ramps. And the earliest that we expect construction on the remaining projects is the fall of, actually, it should be 25, which will be when we expect to go forward with that. It'll be broken up into multiple projects. The only exception to that is the work that we're doing on stone right now, which is wrapping up. And that has a cycle track extension that's part of the Prop 407 campaign. And those in your slide deck, those are photographs that you saw in there of Stone Avenue work from about 2 weeks ago. On package 12, Silverbell, basically it's done. They're working through punch list items. Package 13, Park Avenue, the water mods, or the plans for the water modifications, are now complete, and Tucson Water will be assuming the management of that project. I did have a paper printed in your packet. I have the financial overview of it. Basically, when you look at Prop 101, you look at what we're estimating the remaining projects to cost. We finished strong on the residential side, and we're still anticipating a balance on the arterial side. The total balance that we're projecting at this point is $8.7 million on Prop 101. Once we have more of the work under contract, we'll come back to you and ask you, you know, how you want to deal with that particular funding. There's certainly no lack of arterial roads that we can spend money on. So. that is substantially my report.
Thank you so much.
Manager?
Yes.
Would you have a gentleman call to the audience? We could hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
Derek Daniels here with the Vista Del Rio neighborhood, representing, of course, Vista Del Rio. Thank you, Jim, so much for the time. We've spoken directly before. I've also presented to this to the IOAC before as well. So certainly here to thank just the presence, the construction, the progress that's taking place in the neighborhood. I think there's roughly 12 sidewalk access points that still need to be completed, but also here to learn more about timeline, perhaps for repaving and what that looks like once that project is complete. So nonetheless, yeah, appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Thank you so much for coming. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah, thank you, Charles.
All right. Next up, we have a report out on the collector streets.
Madam Chair, members of the IOAC, where we stand right now, we have a listing here of the projects that are now completed on the collector streets campaign. They include 6th Avenue, which we did, actually Tucson Water Building was one of the projects, the early projects that we did with Tucson Water. Old Spanish Trail from Broadway to Harrison, Star Pass and Players Club Drive were now complete, and we're in the punch list stage. Greasewood from Ironwood Hills to Speedway, which included sidewalks that were funded with Prop 411 safety funding that was set aside by the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. That project is complete. Tucson Boulevard from 22nd to 6th Street is now complete. The last thing we had to do was a curb access ramp at the Arroyo Chico, which we had some conflicts with Southwest Gas that took a while to resolve, but that is now done. In terms of projects that we're currently underway on, probably the headliner is Tucson Boulevard again. We're in the process of finishing up the curb access ramps. We are doing that in conjunction with Elm Street. Elm Street, the curb access ramps are done. We will be repaving Elm Street in early November on an away game weekend. I don't recall which one it was exactly, but our contractor is very acutely aware of football. And in fact, the company, just as a funny aside, and forgive me, or push your indulgence on this. They used to be the coaching, the vice president of the company used to be the head coach for South Point football team, and so they track football in that family very closely, and the U of A football in particular. So, but anyway, they're lined up to do that on the away game weekend, which is going to be in front of the Arizona Inn on Elm Street. So that's where they're going to have to run it, close the road to make it one-way traffic as they're paving one side of the street, and come back and reverse the flow of traffic and pave the other side of the street. So that's the way they'll accomplish that. Then when they move down on Tucson Boulevard, Tucson Boulevard is a three-lane section, so they'll do one lane at a time and basically contract the road prism so that they've got two-way traffic, but with left turn challenge or left turn restriction. So that's the way they will be doing that work. And again, they're expecting that to be all completed by Thanksgiving. There are some photos in here of some completed projects. In terms of things that are on the horizon, we're now mobilizing on the 29th Street project, 29th Kolb to Avenida Guillermo and Prudence Road, together with Kenyon Drive from Pantano Road to Camino Seco, and Sarnoff Drive from Broadway Boulevard to 22nd Street. Those projects are all underway or are about to get underway. We have a pre-construction conference scheduled for the 17th of November, and the NTP, or notice to proceed, is expected on December 1st. So that is a big project around the office. We've nicknamed it Rolling Thunder instead of Rolling Hills, because it's all, it is a lot of work. By comparison, this is actually the biggest project we've done under Prop 411 as one single project to date, with about 60,000 tons of asphalt and I believe 593 curb access ramps. So it's a big one, and it includes those collector streets. One thing that we're working on doing is adding in also Sarnoff Drive from 22nd Street to Manhattan Parkway, which was not included in the original bid. There are some more challenges on it that we have to work through on it, so it's a little more detailed design, but we will, we expect to turn that over to the contractor and get to do that under a job order contract. So hopefully get that all together as one project and deliver a completed project for that community. Projects that are being prepared for bid. We have Calle Santa Cruz from Irvington to Valencia. We are basically in the final throes of putting the design package together. Just have to resolve on a pavement section. It's an interesting section the original construction was very different between the north and south portions of it, and we have some fat clays under the pavement, so we're trying to decide exactly how we want to treat or not treat that as we move forward. We may leave it in place and just put a very forgiving pavement section on it, in one that will transmit provide some stress absorption in the middle of the paving section to prevent the propagation of cracks. We're working on Glen Street as well. That's in design from Cherry to Alvernon. Principal thing we're looking at on that is additional layers. I'd like to get going with the paving first, and once we have the striping plan resolved upon, we'll move forward with that, and there will be additional sidewalk and street lighting improvements that will go with it. So long as we don't need to interfere or so long as that does not result in damage or impact to the paving that we put down, we'll be prepared to move forward with paving it initially and then coming back with the additional work behind the back of the curb. There's a map in here that shows the overall coverage of it, the roads. We are also looking at moving forward on projects that were in the initial project list that are layered. And so I have the status of that on the presentation sheets, give you an idea where we are. For instance, Elvira from Plummer to Palo Verde, it says water conflicts. It basically means that we're working with Tucson Water on having them do modification plans. Once they're finished with their plans, then we'll bid the project together with the water work going on, initially paid for by Tucson Water, and then the paving work paid for with the collector street fund. Flowing Wells, Miracle Mile to Grant, and Glenn from Flowing Wells to Oracle. We have water issues that we're getting ready to resolve. They're actually fairly far along in terms of the design of the water plans. I would foresee that probably going out to bid in the spring. It is one that we have, because there's so much heavy truck traffic, it is going to be an expensive one. Actually, most of these projects on this list will be fairly costly because of the layering of projects, of elements from the safety side of the house, as well as dealing with the heavy truck traffic, which we'll need to address in the pavement layers. So we are looking at cement treated base. Actually, the plans as they're currently drawn up are for a concrete pavement. We believe that'll probably be too expensive for us, so we're preparing an alternative that looks at a cement treated base with an asphalt wearing surface. But those are projects that are going to be fairly involved when we get them out on the streets. In terms of other projects that are, you know, pretty much pavement-only projects, these are ones that that I can get out the door fairly quickly. I am working on Park Avenue right now from Fort Lowell to Adams. Actually, we're in fact looking at going beyond that up to 2nd Street where the streetcar paving ends. And there's a U of A housing project that's going in on the corner there of Speedway and Park, and we're looking at their participation. One of the things they have to do is build some driveway improvements, and with that they were tasked with repaving the road. We may take it all in under our project and do it all together. Stella Road is another one that I've got currently in design, and I'm looking at 6th Avenue. My hope would be to do that at the same time as we do the Prop 101 6th Avenue project. So we're starting that project up in terms of getting preparation for that. So it would be ideal in my mind to be able to do the 101 project of 6th in Valencia to Los Reales, along with the 6th Avenue extension from Valencia up to Drexel. And from Drexel to Thoroughbred, we've already completed it. So that would button that piece of Sussex Avenue. In terms of where we are with contracts, I do have a listing of the projects that we currently have active or have completed. What you'll see is Rodeo Edition Phase 2. That's basically that 6th Avenue piece from Thoroughbred to Drexel. Old Spanish Trail. One thing I would note is that the adjusted amount on that is a little higher. That reflects the additional cost of the bike lanes that we did, and that cost is being borne by the Prop 411 safety campaign. So it's not being attributed to the collector program. There was also a cost associated with some changes to the pavement. We originally had planned to do a deep mill and basically blend the current paving surface in with the base. We found that we couldn't get adequate compaction with that. They ended up having to remove all of the material, put in a cement treated base, and then pave over that on the first lane. At which point in time we said we're gonna just do a 3-inch mill and fill with that. So that's we did that to contain the costs on that. And sometimes not touching something is a good idea. And that was an example of that. At the bottom of the page, you'll see that we have the project that we're doing with Rolling Hills 29th and Prudence Canyon and Sarnoff. So total amount that we have under contract or completed is $12.99 million in the collector campaign, not including the design work that has been done on the initial project. So that's where we stand with the collector street project. We have the answer to questions.
Why is the Rodeo Edition dollars per square yard so much higher than the rest of us, $30 to $40 more?
They did an aggressive base treatment that, and frankly, you know, it was a small volume project. We like to do bigger volume projects. That was a fairly costly project on a per square yard basis. So, and it was ancillary to the water work, so we got a water contractor and they got the job. So, and that's one of those coordination issues that we have with Tucson Water. Sometimes we'll have them do the lead if it's largely a water project, and we'll do the lead on it if it's a road project. And sometimes we go our separate ways and do two projects, one after the other. So a lot of it has to do with the financial side of things.
Any other questions? And my mistake, y'all, I apologize, we skipped over Proposition 411, right?
Yes, Madam Chair. Happy to dive right into Prop 411.
Perfect, thank you.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to let you know where we stand with the initial project list. We are largely done with it. The only projects that that remain are those projects where we either are layering with our safety funds, which is Liver Lost, or we are working with Tucson Water on either a water mods project where we drove Tucson Water to do the work, or it's within their CIP. So water mods are, the one project that we've got water mods on is Barrio Viejo, and that's one where they would not be doing the work were it not for us right now. The others were, they were in their 5-year CIP, and we put the project on hold in order to follow their project and rather than have them come back and cut pavement. So those are the neighborhoods that have not been done, with the exception of some pavement preservation work. If you recall, you know, we identified the need to come back and do preservation of work that was recently done. And those on the map there are the neighborhoods in green. They were done by other fund sources, but we need to keep our good pavements good. So that is a modest amount of money to spend on it. I think we have 7% of the Prop 411 Better Streets funds set aside to do preservation work and to keep our roads in good condition. So there are some preservation projects that we still have yet to do. We haven't gotten a lot of preservation work done, but it's just there's more to do. And we're actually working with our streets division folks to do some of it. And for instance, right now they're in the Duffy neighborhood, and over by Duffy Elementary, they're doing, they started out with crack filling, and they've recently done a fog seal over it. So we're working with them on trying to actually build their capabilities to carry this effort on after Prop 411 starts winding down. Now, I think we'll still have the need to continue to do some aggressive treatments, but to the more we can build that staff capability up, I think that will be served in the long term. The continuing on, by the way, this drawing shows the neighborhoods the ones that are currently not complete, but everything else on this sheet is pretty well done. Resurfacing projects that are currently under contract. This is Del Rio, and that's underway right now, along with Colonial Liberty, as our esteemed resident has indicated. We have made a lot of progress on the curb access ramps, and we expect the construction of the paving to start right after Thanksgiving. So that's what the current schedule is for paving. They'll start in Colonial Verde next door, and then they'll move over to Vista Dunia. And that'll give them the time to work through the curb access ramps. One thing that we have found is as we've peeled back the curb access ramps, we've found a lot of utilities that we've had to adjust, including irrigation system infrastructure that is now no longer in use, but we still have to properly cap it off from Tucson Water, and we've also had some Southwest Gas infrastructure, move some cable infrastructure in there as well. But that's moving along. We've got a good contractor on the project, and we're looking forward to getting the paving started right after Thanksgiving. And it'll be done well in advance of Christmas. So your guests won't have to trip over construction equipment. We still will probably be doing some adjustments where we raise the utility valve covers and sewer manhole lids up. That'll probably happen into the new year. But and survey monuments, those are the things that we complete the project with. But most of the paving, the big stuff will be out of the way La Madera, Racquet Club Village in Winter Haven, that's on the final throws. We paved the La Madera section finished that up on Friday, and we're now into doing speed humps and cleanup. and then also the adjustment of bounds and such. We got a really nice letter from the Winter Haven community thanking us for their work, or for the work in their community, and we're delighted to have that done well in advance of the holidays. So that's I believe been pretty well cleaned up already. We are doing a fair number of curb access ramp projects, where we went in whenever we do a major treatment, we have to adjust all of the curb access ramps. And the companies that we've had doing our surface treatments, they're very cost-effective projects, but their teams are focused on, I mean, they do one set of work and then they have to hire subcontractors to do any of the concrete work. The concrete work last fall was very expensive, and we ended up deferring the ramps in the Dietz neighborhood, and we also deferred it in Sam Hughes, Miramonte, Peter Howell. We have finished the Peter Howell, Miramonte, and Sam Hughes. We came back and redid those, but we have other work that we're doing on that. So Dietz neighborhood is one where we deferred and we've got a contract now with an entity to do those ramps. And we're also doing the same in, we actually put out a bid yesterday, and it was for, I'm sorry, not yesterday, it was last week, it was I believe Thursday now that I think about it. It was the Mittman Thunderbird Harlan Heights and Wilshire Heights neighborhood that we had a bid opening last week on. And we're finishing up the ramps in that community as well. Those are projects that we're not forgetting about. If we have to move on because for expediency to get the world work done, we'll do that. But we come back and make it right with the curb access ramps. We are continuing on the, I call it the Amphi area, it's Sawtell Acres, Garden Home, Pastime Acres. That's a mill and fill project. Garden Home neighborhood is where the next Sokovia is going to be in December, and we had actually asked the contractor to rearrange their schedule so that we could accommodate and make sure that there was no conflict with Sokovia in that neighborhood. We have Kennedy Park Estates. We had our pre-con on that last week, so they'll be starting on the first of the month. And El Rio Acres and Ironwood Ridge is under construction presently. And then we have the Ward 1 surface treatments and the Ward 2 and 6 surface treatment projects underway. So we've got a lot of work currently ongoing out in the streets right now. And that with that 2 and 6 surface treatments, that includes the Rincon Heights neighborhood as well as a number of others, including Catalina Heights. We've got the Rose Hill Estates and portions of Carlos Terrace in there. The projects that are mobilizing right now, we've already mentioned Rolling Hills, which will start the beginning of December. We have Indian Trails Estates, which is on the very, very extreme northeast side. It's actually north of the Bear Canyon and Tankerville intersection. So that's a little strip pavement neighborhood. We've got that, they'll be getting that next month. The Auto Mall, not Auto Mall Drive itself, because that's already been addressed, but the streets that serve the back of the Auto Mall, those are going to be mill and fill. A neighborhood called The Crossings, which is, if you look up on the map, on the very furthest most upper left corner there's some pink, purple color. That's the Crossings neighborhood. It's just south of Orange Grove, east of where River and Thornydale turn and merge. So that's underway. We have Riverside Park, which is just to the south of Speedway. It's basically Speedway to St. Mary's from Grande to the river. That's under construction. or mobilizing right now, we're using the same contractor that's doing the El Rio neighborhood. So they'll just move across the street, basically, and keep going. Our hopes is actually to extend that to Menlo Park, which you'll see later. And then we have the Rincon Heights curb access ramps that they're starting to mobilize. And one thing I did want to call to your attention, I know there was at the last meeting we had residents from the Sutton Place neighborhood. That's the photograph that's on the cover of this, is the streets in there. We actually have blended that neighborhood into the Ward 4 campaign that we're going to be doing, and I'm hoping to have that ready to go out to bid. Likely in December, we may hold it until January. Depends on how early and what we get it out, but we don't want to put it out late in the month, certainly. And the photograph that you see following the pages that we just discussed is of the surface of some streets in the Rincon Heights neighborhood. We have just gone over it with the milling machine, so ground off all of the bumps and humps, so it'll take the new treatment. There is a map that we have in here that shows all of the locations that we're currently underway on, and both those that are under construction, which are identified in blue circles, and those that are mobilizing are the ones in the black circles. And then we have the following page is of the surface treatments that we're doing this fall. We've got two different contractors out there. The contractors that are doing the wards 2 and 6 work, those are the projects in blue, and then the ward 1 work is in black. And that includes Saddlewood Ranch. It includes Enchanted Hills. It includes Oak Park at Midvale, which is two different neighborhoods in Midvale Park. Projects that we're bidding, we do have a large project, probably pushing $10 million, which is in, we're calling it the Ward 2 and 6 repaving project. The neighborhoods are Venice Edition, Carlos Terrace, Glen Heights, Swanway, Speedway Edition, Pima Verde, Cloverleaf, and Cloverleaf Warsaw. Basically, if you will, look at most of the neighborhoods between 5th Street and Fort Wall, between Craycroft and Swath. So that swath in through there is getting picked up, with the exception of that area between Speedway and Pima. Those neighborhoods between Speedway and Pima have a lot of water work that needs to be done, and we're working with Tucson Water and trying to get a water mods project on that. We have Menlo Park. We're in the pricing phase with KENG on that project. And then, as I mentioned, the deferred curb access ramp work, which we did on last Thursday. Projects in development, Ward 4. A lot of work in Ward 4. And Ward 4, you know, we really need to catch up in Ward 4. One of the things I've been doing is keeping tabs of where we're doing work across the city. And Ward 4 didn't get a lot of work done in the initial project list. What we're doing is working to try to catch up on some Ward 4 investments. So we've got a lot of work to do in there. A lot of it is on the, up against the base. And then we have the Valley View East or Sutton Place project that I showed you the picture of, the cover of, and you heard from the resident last meeting. We have Ward 5 repaving, which is right now it's focused on the Mortimer Edition, Southland Park, Los Ranchitos, Desert View High School area. Then we have another Ward 4 project, which is mostly to the, it's, Harrison East, if you will, is how the word refers to it. Basically, east of the Pantano Wash, east of Harrison Road, and between Harrison and Houghton, primarily. We're also beginning to develop our spring 2025 list of surface treatment projects. So we've got the map of the projects that are in development here. Give you an idea of where we're at. Also, I do need to mention that we're also doing a section of El Encanto and Jefferson Park. Those are two neighborhoods I didn't mention, Midtown neighborhoods. And El Encanto, we do have some drainage issues that we're having to work through. They're rather challenging. And so once we get that worked out and we have a good solution for it, we'll come back in. We'll put that out to bid. And the Jefferson Park neighborhood is one that we're doing in conjunction with Tucson Water. They have a water line that about three blocks of Edison Street have a water line that's a problem. So we're going to take that on and build that as part of our project with Tucson Water covering the costs of the project or that component of the project. So, looking at ways to do business with Tucson Water creatively. In terms of our actuals, we're up, we stand now at, within the report, you have a table showing what our collections were by a monthly basis. We actually do have some additional funds that due to interest and through the 30th of September, we've collected for the Better Streets program, almost $138 million. We have to date, and that is not what's shown on the report that I distributed. The report cuts off at September 30th. We've actually added additional projects since then. So, but to date, we have $112.2 million under contract or in award. And that leaves us an unencumbered balance of $25.7 million. It's called our working capital, and we're working to keep that at ideally I'd like to keep that at less than $20 million. So unfortunately, I was going to show you a graphic that shows our, I can kind of show you at a distance. This is a comparison of our encumbrances to our collected revenue to our actual expenditures. Actual expenditures are trailing, but they're trailing substantially, but they are catching up quickly. So, and that's something that is reflected in the expenditure report that I passed out. You should all have it here at the table. Let's see. We have a lot of projects that I've started development with our engineering team on, and those are on the next to last page. That's kind of where I expect us to be building in fiscal year 26, which begins next July. These are the neighborhoods that I want to be targeting. One of the neighborhoods near to Vista Del Rio is just across Tanque Verde, so it would include picking up Pia Decimo and going up to Pima Street. I think Dale's fairly close to where you live, so it's that area north of Pima, Pantano to the park. All right. So that's one that I want to get underway. That's the area I think we talked about that your friends thought they were still in unincorporated Pima County.
Yeah.
So, we have a lot of work that we're looking at trying to do the central part of the city, where basically the Ward 5, Ward 6 interface near downtown. It's time for us to get into that area. It's going to take, those are going to be some challenging projects. I know Armory Park, that area, we have a lot of work to do, and it's going to be working with Tucson Water on some of their challenges as well, because I think we're going to continue to have instances of water line issues that we need to work with them on. And then, when you say get in there, do you have an anticipated sort of idea of when Albury Park might see some attention? Is this 27?
Fiscal 26.
26? Okay.
Yeah.
And that's, what is fiscal meeting? Is that June of 25 to June 26? Or is that?
July.
Yeah, July 1 to June 30.
Okay.
So July 1 of 25 to June 1.
So year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So that's what I'd it is what we need to do to keep on track with our 3-year plan. So that's the next area where we'll be working, and we have some projects that. We're going to be doing along with Tucson Water, probably to the latter part of 26. Once they finish their water line work, we'll be in the San Paula neighborhood and some of the neighborhoods south of Park Mall. We'll be moving into that area, San Fernando. So those are areas where Tucson Water has water line work that they've got in design presently. And in fact, those blue shaded areas kind of in the middle of the map there. So those are the neighborhoods that we'll be working with them on. And I think, sorry, I don't have, wasn't with graphics. I think it would have gone a little easier, but appreciate your forbearance on my long-winded explanations here. So. Be happy to answer any questions that you might have. This is a more comprehensive list of the projects that we have in there. There's a color coding with it. I can tell you that to date, we now consider completed 15.6% of the city with having been treated or improved. And when you include those projects that are currently under a contract or in award, we're underway on another 6.1% of the city, and so that brings us up to almost 22% of the city in the works or done. And we do have everything that is in, projects that are in design presently are those that are in the yellow highlight. The salmon color highlight are projects that are surface treatment projects that we're currently working on. Those in green are under construction. Those in blue are ones that we're working with Tucson Water on. And those in gray, those are the ones that are completed. And that is the kind of scheme here on this particular spreadsheet. So, and I continue to update it on a regular basis. So, you'll see this again.
Cool. Congrats.
Hopefully with more gray.
That's awesome. Congratulations. All right, thank you so much. So do we have an update for the for the complete streets coordinating?
Madam Chair, I do not have an update. Ryan was not able to attend today.
All right. So I guess we are at the section where we pull out our calendars, y'all. Future meetings.
And Madam Chair, if there are any items that you would like to direct us to work on in anticipation of that meeting.
Well, I mean, I was really compelled by what Colin had suggested in regards to the next bond, but I think we're pretty premature for that yet.
Yeah.
So we've got another couple years for that.
Yeah.
I also have just another question. So we voted to submit the letter to the city council now, mm-hmm. Make them aware. You informed us and Sam and that they are already aware. So, just speculating, what kind of response, if any, do you anticipate that our letter might receive?
I would expect that you might hear back from individual council members saying thank you for the information and, you know, being appreciated being made aware of these things. Many of them are already, we have had conversations with them to let them know about the challenges. But I think it's good for them to know that you're tracking this, and that you're taking this serious is something that I think they'll appreciate the most.
Do you have something,
Colin? Yeah, for an item for next time, I'd like to propose what to do with the balance of the 101 funds. If you have some suggestions for that, or if you can put together a list for us to consider.
We can begin that process. We've been very reluctant to start that process. I mean, it's a great, I mean, we've been long thinking, you know, licking our lips and hoping which projects we should put this on, but that's all tempered by the fear that, you know, bid pricing is unpredictable, and we have been in a very high inflation period. I can tell you that just by manner of example, the average amount of money that we paid at bid date or the bid price for a square yard of pavement in the first year of our effort, fiscal 24, was 23.5 basically per square yard. We're about $2 higher than that so far this year. Now we have a smaller base of bids, and there's some things that we probably would do differently that may reflect poorly in the bid date. I'll give you an example. Most of our projects are very fast moving, so we don't put in an adjustment for bituminous material. If we have a project that's big, we'll go ahead and if it'll go more than 6 months, we'll give them an adjustment factor. And we have to put that into the bid schedule. And it can go up or down, but on bid date, it counts. And we, on Rolling Hills, it added about $1.20 a square yard to the overall cost of the project by just including it. We may never end up paying it. And in fact, on Tierra del Sol, we ended up saving money on that project because at the date that the bid occurred, the price of asphalt was higher than it was at the dates that they paved it. So that adjustment worked in our favor in that case. But usually we make it a hard bid and just, you know, the contractor takes the risk. But that's something that we've done on the larger projects, and we've had larger projects this year. Rolling Hills was enormous, and the Ward 4 projects will be large. The Wards 2 and 6 project that opens next week also has the bituminous adjustment factor in it, and it'll be a large project too. It's about 40,000 tons, whereas the Rolling Hills was 60,000 tons.
So maybe rather than having a specific list of projects, maybe you could just give an update on the balance of 101 and what's going on with that.
Absolutely. That we'll definitely do that.
Okay.
And you know, hopefully we'll have some additional information to share as the Fifth Street project progresses. You know, at this point in time, we don't have a hard number from the contractor on the paving price for it.
Okay.
And to piggyback on that, maybe we can just have a quick reminder of, you know, because these are 101 funds, right?
Correct.
So we can have a reminder on the constraints of the 101 projects, you know, what we're allowed to spend it on versus 411, because I know it's slightly different than what the ratios are. And then also perhaps a brief, if we could just be reminded, because I know 101, there was a lot of mill and overlay and a lot more intense. Are we constrained by that with this money that's left over or not? So if you could just have a reminder for us just to reset the baseline, because, you know, it's sure blurry.
That's an excellent point, because, yes, the rules are different for 101 than they really are for 411. And we want to make sure that as we're moving forward with it. And you know, there is a breakdown also between that money that can be spent on residential and that money that can be spent on materials. And it's arterials and collectors, so it's not just simply arterials. Although, you know, I can argue we can spend it all on arterials really fast.
Yeah. But, okay. Yeah. All right. That's all I have.
Thank you so much.
I just have a question. Since I'm relatively new, we got this letter from the neighborhood over there.
Yes.
How do we deal with that? How do you deal with it? Or is there something we need to do?
Well, that's a great question. And what you could do, and I can't speak to it in any depth today,
right?
But because it would be a violation of the open meeting law.
Right.
But if you asked to schedule or put on the agenda a discussion of perhaps how we deal with neighborhood requests, and what I don't think it would be unfair with of me to share is that neighborhood was not on phase one, but when you look at the neighborhood, their street is different from the character of the rest of the neighborhood. It is more severely impacted, so that neighborhood, which is, again, it's just one street with a loop on it, probably 40 homes on it, and their streets are different than the rest of the neighborhood. And we find that throughout the city, from an efficiency of construction standpoint, we like the quarter sections,
sure,
because that's enough meat that we can get a contractor out there and get a decent price on. So, and I probably have gone maybe further than I should have on that, but we could put that on as an agenda item.
I would like to add that.
That's great.
So I have better idea.
Super valid. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So two items then we would like to see on the next agenda would be a reset on the baseline of Prop 101, so we know what we're dealing with when we're talking about dealing with the money, and how we can as a commission respond to ongoing conversations from neighbors who bring up things during the call to audience.
Right.
So we can't discuss it in the time, but how do we address it? That would be great. So the next meeting should be December 23rd, but I am doubtful that will work for anyone. And so do we wish to push to the fourth week of January or mid-January? Thoughts, feelings, reactions?
If I may, Madam Chair,
please.
One thing that it would allow us to do is if we push to the latter part of January, I could give you end of calendar year financials.
Okay. How does everybody feel about January 27th?
That's good. Works for me.
Good.
Tentatively works for me.
Okay.
It does not work for me.
It does not work for Dale.
Ooh.
What about the 20th?
Yeah, what about the 13th?
it's not quite enough time month. For the staff to have
end of
year.
The 20th works for me.
It's inauguration day, no, so I don't think that's a good idea.
And if you want to stick with the 20th,
28th, I ain't going anywhere on the 5th.
The 27th or something, I'll tell you the reason that it doesn't work for me is there's a home Arizona Iowa basketball game.
That could be an excused absence.
That sounds really good to me.
Yeah. Well, it depends what time's the game.
Yeah, what time's the game?
And I'll have to go back to January 27th. Actually, we probably could do that because it's an 8:30 game.
Right.
Perfect.
Oh,
let's make it work. Yeah?
27th?
27th of January.
Okay. I didn't look that far.
Well done.
I'll promise to keep the presentations quick.
I promise to leave a few minutes early.
There you go.
You do your
answer.
Yeah.
What is the name of this committee?
Oh, now. It's an Independent Oversight and Accountability Commission.
IOC. You want to try that one more time?
IOAC.
Yes. That works.
Yeah. Okay. IOAC. Some people like to call it the Olympic Committee.
No.
All right. Well, since we won't see each other again, happy holidays to everyone. Thank you so much for your commitment to our city and to our neighborhoods, and may you have some nice.
We're
going to
try and be here again, right?
Yeah, right, in person.
Yeah, and we just need to confirm the availability of the room.
And
hopefully we'll have technology.
And big thanks to staff. You all are amazing. Thank you to our neighbors for showing up and advocating for your neighborhood. Appreciate it. Thank you to everybody. Have a wonderful holiday season. Thank you
very much.
All right. Thank you very much.